So we'd like to now explore one of the issues that we mentioned in a broader context last week. So last week we talked about the idea of the Bezdin of three, and the fact that it's an odd number, the fact that it is based on Tukim to some degree or another, and the question that could be asked, the ideal, let's say, of having specifically three Dayanim, is that driven primarily by the desire not to have a stalemate and to be able to be makriya? Or is it driven by the desire to have more chachma? That maybe there's a certain minimal amount of chachma we need to have a chalos bezdin. A shein bezdin requires a certain minimal amount of chachma, and three is what that is, and that's the three uses of the word Elohim in the Pasuk to tell you a minimum of three, and that's really why we have that number. So therefore, we say the more the merrier, even if it becomes an even number later on, for example. Or one of the questions we alluded to was, what if there is a split, but the split is, numerically, it's one way, but chachmeically, it's a different way. So let's say, for example, there is more chachma in the one dayan who disagrees with the other two than in the other two dayanim. So wanted to explore that topic in a little more depth. It's really a very fascinating topic, very, very relevant to decision-making in general, to decision-making within halacha, and definitely worthy of a little bit of extra attention. So the first Mar Makom that I wanted you to see, I actually didn't put on the list for technical reasons, so I'll read it with you now. There is a Ramban. The Ramban, you can find it in various editions. Happens to be that if you have, let's say, for example, the Ramban that's printed in the Otzer, so it appears in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, in the Chidushei HaRamban over there. And I sent out a scanned version, but let's read it together because it's fascinating. So that machlokas I just mentioned about whether we're counting people or are we counting chachma. So listen to what the Ramban says. He writes over there, Matsasi came to Shuboso Shavavenu Haigon. Quote to Haigon, who says, V'im nechalku bezdin shehem shlosha. So you have a panel of three, and they split. Shnai umrim kach. Two say one way. So im shavin bechachma, if they are equivalent in wisdom, then meinichin divrei yachid ba'osin divrei shnayim. Then, and only then apparently, do we set aside the opinion of the one, and we follow the opinion of the two. Oh, but what if they're not equal? V'im ha'echad adif min ha'shnayim. What happens if one of them is greater? So then, it's interesting, the rest of the sentence, what does he say? Holchin achar, we follow who? Mishanason tam ludvarim. So we follow, it doesn't necessarily say whoever's smarter, but we follow the reason. So if the one gives a reason, and the other two, let's say, don't have a reason, then we will follow the reasoned opinion. So that's what he quotes from the Haigon. And he himself disagrees. He writes, Lodis Chavrali, Mimas Nisan to Sanhedrin. This is not clear to me that this is true. From the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Which Mishnah is he talking about? Good question. Here there is a statement to some Rashi Tevis. The footnote says we don't know what the Rashi Tevis mean, so it's not necessarily clear what he's basing it on. Although it doesn't need so much defense because most would assume that that's indeed the case, that we follow people and we don't necessarily have any other way of distinguishing. So he then goes on to quote a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, which he did put on the Mar Makomos. And it's very important, maybe we'll come back and continue reading his words in reference to that Gemara in Yevamos. But in any event, so this is a very significant debate. Here you have the Rav Haigon saying that it's not so pashut that we follow the majority. That we're only going to follow the majority, two against one, if everybody's equal. But if they're not equal, then things could shift. So what is that machlokas about? We mentioned last week the possibility that it goes to that question that we just mentioned a few minutes ago. Is the point of having three so that you could have a machriya, you could have a tile breaker? tiebreaker? Or is the point of having three because three is more chachma, and then we'll still follow the chachma however it lays out? That's so one way to look at it. The Rav Yaakov Batzal Zsolti, I think I mentioned his svarim in the past, so Rav Zsolti in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz and Chosha Mishpat in Simon Hay has a lengthy essay about this, and he suggests the question is, how do you read the idea of Achrei Rabbi Mahatos, the Torah's idea that we follow a rove? What did it ever mean to say? Right? Did it mean to say that we follow people like it literally sounds? Or maybe it never even really meant that. Maybe that wasn't the intention, but that the intention was that we follow most chachma, we follow most chachma points, let's say. Somehow we will quantify the chachma. Obviously, this is an incredibly challenging proposition, and you can see many, many fights emerging from such an attitude. But perhaps that's how we should read the pasuk in the Torah, as saying, follow most chachma represented by people, and add up their chachma points, like some kind of a role-playing game. And then you take the chachma points, and that's what wins. So if you're going to have a different number, if you're going to have a number of chachma points that's going to point in a different direction than pure people points, then that's going to perhaps lead to a different decision. It's fascinating, those of you who are in the Cy Sims class in the Ethical Legal Environment of Business, so we recently spoke about this point, about Winston Churchill's quote that democracy is the worst form of government with the exception of all others that have been tried so far. And we mentioned that the idea there seems to be that democracy, the idea of one vote, one person, doesn't necessarily seem to accord with most chachma. If you want to get the wisest decision, so it doesn't sound like you should give an equal vote to every person regardless of expertise or of knowledge or of experience, but presumably you should give a weighted average. You should accord different degrees of voting power to different people and to some people no voting power. So that's presumably what he meant, that in terms of efficiency of government, so democracy is the worst possible system you could have. To decide that everyone should have an equal say, regardless of all these factors, doesn't make any sense. But then he comes and says, except for everything else, except for every other system. So that, as we discussed in that class, presumably means that minority rights are going to get trampled, that individual rights are going to get disregarded when you just allow people to amass power in other ways, and to give all the power in the hands of those who might be the smartest but aren't necessarily worried about the individual. So therefore we have other considerations. We have to protect the individual, so we have to have democratic values. So it's kind of a clash between two considerations. So why is this most efficient decision won't necessarily come from voting as takes place in a democracy, but there are all kinds of other problems that could come, and therefore that's why we've chosen that system, because that's the best we have. We'll take a question in a second, but here it shifts a little bit. Here, probably it's that we're looking to make the best quality decision, but on the other hand, Hasvar Dosanes, maybe, that we can't really assess this in any kind of objective way, and if we want to be able to make decisions and don't want to be fighting forever about the quality of the votes, so then we need to have a system that's more objective, and counting up deos in terms of people is going to perhaps be a more workable system, and that's how it's generally assumed. Sorry, Tamir, you have a...
Yeah, just on the point of Pygos, we should have some tablet tomorrow. Presumably, wouldn't every dayan, no matter what you're saying, whether you're saying chayv or putter, wouldn't you have to have some reason behind whatever you're saying?
Yes and no, not necessarily, but I think what he would have to mean also is that he gives a more compelling time. Because otherwise, you could say, and that's probably very easily accounted for, either we automatically assume everyone's giving a reason, or isn't it very likely that they will all be giving a reason? So, you know, under that assumption, so then it perhaps makes sense to say that we mean a compelling reason.
What's the better compelling reason?
So the reason that essentially ends up conveying more chachma. How do you assess that? So part of it will come apparently from the authority of the people involved. Otherwise, you wouldn't enter that into the equation at all, right? It's interesting. It's part of why I wanted to see this inside, because it's interesting. It's not just a straight follow the chachma, because follow the chachma, we mentioned last week, is a little bit easier to say, harder to assess, but easier to say. Here, if it's purely about the strength of the tam, so then why are we talking about differences in the wisdom of the judges? Let's say, okay, we have three equal judges, but let's always go based on the most compelling tam. So apparently you have to say, just by necessity, that it's a combination of the reason is compelling, and the people who are saying it, or in this case, the person who's saying it, is more authoritative, and therefore there's more weight behind it. So this is also expressed in a kind of fascinating way. If you saw on the Mar Makomos, the Gemara Andaf Lamidvav Muralef, which is also in the fourth parak, where the Ramban we were just talking about is, but this is a little bit later in the fourth parak. The Ramban is on Lamed Beis. This is on Lamed Vav. So here, the Gemara tells us a din, coming from the Mishnah, that din nefashos maschilim min atzad. So we don't start from the most senior dayan when we're getting opinions for the Sanhedrin, so we don't look to begin with the most experienced, most senior authority. So says the Gemara, Minahani Mile, how do we know this? Amr Vacha Bar Papa Makra, Losana al Riv, Losana al Rav. So what's the significance there? Says Rashi, Losana al Rav, Ksiv below Yud. So Riv without a Yud is Rav. What's the intention there? So the message is that lo sachlok al hamufla shel bezdin, that one should not argue on the Rav. That one should not answer up against the senior rabbinical personality, against the mufla shel Sanhedrin. Hilchach, so since you have that problem, you're not going to be allowed to disagree. Lo maschalina minei. So therefore, we don't want to have him speak first, because that will cause problems. Dilma chazal lechova, because maybe he will consider the person involved to be guilty. V'lo palgina elave, so we're not going to want to argue on him. So therefore, maschila min atzad. So we start from the other direction. We don't start from the most senior authority. Shelo yishmo yecha divrei yecha ben mezakeh v'yaskeh mimo. So that we don't want to have a situation where one who might otherwise find this party to be innocent might hear what he say and take on that opinion. So it sounds like from Rashi, at least how he's understood by some other Rishonim, that what's the significance of the pasuk Losan El Riv, right? Which is all from the same pasuk. This is an earlier phrase in the same pasuk of Acher Rabim Lahakos. Right, so it's all part of the same thrust. At the same time, as the Torah tells us, follow the majority. Before it says that, it says Losan Al Rav. So it sounds like what Rashi is describing here is that the pasuk is telling us an issue. Like that it's wrong to disagree. It's prohibited to disagree with the head of the Sanhedrin. So how would you understand the nature of such an issue? Why is that prohibited? What kind of prohibition is that? Are you?
Similar to Kibbutz Avayim.
Is it? So that's what I'm wondering. So is it a covenant-driven prohibition? That it's not covenantic to disagree with the Mufla Shebe Bezdin? Rory?
In the same realm as like you can like hafkin it under your Rebbe.
Oh, so that's so similar to COVID, right? Is that what's going on? That basically, which actually it's interesting, what is the gather of that din? But let's say on the surface it sounds like that's also a COVIDic principle, a principle about COVID, that one should not disrespect the Rebbe by passing his approach. The reason I'm hesitant to say it's absolutely like that is because that may also, there's a lot to discuss about why one should passing in front of his Rebbe. Is it that it's an issue of COVID harav, it's disrespectful? Or is it part of how psak works? Maybe that's just an inappropriate path of psak when there is a senior posek available. So whether or not that's what's going on here, we have to figure out. There's another hand up before.
They say probably low saucer.
Low saucer. Okay, so how would you understand this in the context of low saucer?
Maybe that it's someone more senior and authoritative than you already gave their staff to argue against them would maybe go against that possibly.
So how you understand, let's put it this way, how you understand the Mosasa in terms of understanding this Pasuk,
I guess.
What drives Losasser? Let's put it that way. Right, it's Losasser where all we know from the Torah is that Losasser means that you don't know what the Torah means, you don't know what the interpretation of the Chumash is, so you go to the rabbinical authority and you ask him, and whatever he says, you're obligated to follow. And then the Rambam famously included within that all the Chidushim of Chazal, all the new Dinim of Chazal, also as a function of Losasser. Sefer Achinuch understands Losasser to apply to contemporary authorities also. But so what drives that Losasser that you think is happening here too? Is that a question of authority, basically? Is it a question of respect?
Possibly.
So it could be any of the above. So, are you?
Just along the line of what we were saying before, maybe you say the senior authority has more chachma, and therefore you don't think that maybe yours counts as much anymore, or you're convinced that he's just a wise person.
So it could be that that's actually closer to possible truth there, which is different. And maybe it's not necessarily about kavod, but maybe this is all, the pasuk is all telling us about how to make decisions, right? So on the one hand, the pasuk ends off achir avim lahatos, right, that we should follow the majority. So what if we read the pasuk as saying that it's all about following our decision-making factor? And our decision-making factor is rov something. So maybe there's a couple of different rovs that are alluded to in the pasuk. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is that the Beis Din will be decided by rov what? So first, rov chachma. And then if rov chachma is not clear, so then it'll be rov people. Like if they're all equal, everyone is voting is comparable, so then it'll be rove people. So then what the pasuk is saying is, losan lo ra. If there's a clear gadol in the Beis Din, and he takes one side, so that's rove chachma, that's the psak in the Beis Din. And if not, echirab, if not, then you'll come to the answer based on the majority vote. Sammy and Tamir both had hands up before, or they still...
I guess I have a question now.
Uh-huh.
So if we're following this opinion that like we're going after rov chachma, so then all the more minority, you can have a case now where one of the dayanim has all his chachma outweighs everyone else's together.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of them just become like part of a formality where like, they just need it.
Oh, so that's a very good question. So then what role do they play?
Yeah.
So let's come back to that in a second, just to first lay out that there's a machlokas in this point, and your very important question, we'll come back in a second. Tamir, your question is still
up.
Okay. So first, just to note that there's a machlokas Rishonim on this point. Right, so did you get to see Rabbeinu Yonah over here? Rabbeinu Yonah was on a separate sheet. So Rabbeinu Yonah argues on Rashi. And he says that this implication that there's an Isser involved, that that's how we should read the Pasuk. The Pasuk is, you are forbidden to disagree with the Gadol Shabbat Kazdin, the Gadol on the Sanhedrin. That's a prohibition. He thinks that's very difficult to say. That's going to create all kinds of logical challenges and other problems. And presumably, that's not true. So, says Rabbeinu Yonah, he thinks that that's not the correct reading of the issue, or of the pasuk, really. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes that what's going on here is that we're being told that one should not start with the senior authority, because human psychology is such that we're going to have a hard time arguing on the one who is more authoritative and more senior. So we're worried not about a prohibition, we're worried about a metzias. We're worried that it wouldn't be halachically wrong for the younger authorities, the younger dayanim, to disagree, but we're worried that they won't. We're worried that they'll be intimidated, and therefore, practically speaking, it's not a good idea. And if we read the drasha as an actual drasha, so we're being told that it's usher to conduct the Beis Din that way. That it's wrong to conduct the Beis Din in such a way where the younger dayanim will have their votes inhibited by the senior dying. So it's a very significant difference, right? That Rashi seems to be saying that if the senior dying votes, so then that's going to seal it, and that's going to bring up Sammy's question, which we want to come back to in a second. And that's why we don't start with him. While Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not like that at all. It's that, just practically speaking, people are not going to be so likely to want to express themselves under this circumstance. I remember there was a time back when Rudy Giuliani was mayor, and if you remember, he was a very strong personality. I remember there was a time when he was called for jury duty. And he went because he wanted to show specific duty, so even though he was the mayor, he went. But I remember at the time, maybe it was in the base measures, maybe it was elsewhere, people were bringing up the question, you know, would you be able to have a real give and take in the jury room if Mayor Giuliani, both in terms of his position and in terms of his personality, was a part of the discussion, so people vote their mind. And so either it's an issue, like Rashi's saying, or like Rabbi Yehuda's saying, no, it's not an issur, it's just a metzias that people are not going to necessarily talk up, and that's going to compromise the Beis Din. So then, reading it like Rabbi Yehuda saying, it's usur to do it that way. Not that it's usur to disagree, but it's usur to have the protocol that way because you're not going to get the kind of vote you're supposed to get. Morty?
Isn't that exactly Rashi?
So it sounds like he's saying that it's prohibited to do that, and that's called the way that Rabbi Yehuda and others are reading it. That you're right, that Rashi himself maybe does lend itself to other reasons. But if you read it the way that...
I thought he said it's from the Pasuk, and then he explained why that would...
Yeah, I think you're right that it does lend itself a little bit to varying reasons, but the way other Rishonim both read Rashi to argue with him and also say things to agree with Rashi, that it seems like that it's really like Dilma Chaz Lechova, that maybe the senior Dayan will consider the person to be guilty, and because of the Yisr, Lo Palginin Olavei, so they won't argue on him, and therefore he'll have this conclusion. But you're right that it's not 100% Mukhrat, but Rashi has to be read that way.
Who's up first? Senior
Nate.
Nate, actually,
I think
the young one.
Well, I can't argue with him if he
exists. I know, so we'll shoot. Yes.
Why would they assume that Rashi is saying that it's an actual Yisr, since it doesn't really make sense to say that? I mean, it goes against like the whole point of the Beis Din, if it would be usher to argue on someone greater than you.
So,
and since they, like, it's not Mukhrat and Rashi to say like that, mm-hmm. Why are they insisting that that's what Rashi says?
So, your first point, let's break your question down into 3 points. Right. So, your first question about goes against the whole point of the Beis Din. So maybe it doesn't. You know, if we say the whole point of the Beis Din is to throw as much chachma at the problem as possible, and then decide based on most chachma, so then, like we mentioned before, maybe the pasuk is not saying, oh, you can't get involved with disagreeing with senior people, but that senior people are going to add up to most chachma, so then maybe that's not against the whole point of the Beis Din. Maybe it is the point of the Beis Din. And again, Sammy's question is still relevant, so in a minute we'll come back to that, and it'll also address the other part of your question. In terms of Rashi being up with one or another, so again, that's a little bit of open to interpretation.
In this Rashi, there's also, I think, like the last line, is a concern that it could be that the people who think he's innocent will be able to convince the senior member. There's some kind of concern like that. We want to allow that possibility.
Right. So let's come back to that point in a second. So, but just in terms of laying out that this is a machlokas, so you have, on the one hand, Rabbeinu Yonah arguing on Rashi. The Rambam, if you saw the Rambam, this entire period of Halacha Vav, so the Rambam sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? The Rambam sounds like he basically is saying is something similar. And if you look at the Lechem Mishnah also, Lechem Mishnah writes that when the Rambam describes the whole process of starting from the younger Dayanim, he's not saying that there would be any prohibition of them disagreeing, but rather it would inhibit them, and therefore for reasons such as that, it's not practical. Whoever decided which Sfarim are on the table picked some good ones for today's purposes. So we'll come back to a few of them in a second.
So they're on then Yud.
Yud Halach above. So language is, it says, Mepiah Shmu Alamdu, She'em Aschilin B'din Afashos Min HaGadol, She'em B'Yismuchu Ashar Al Daito, V'Lir Atzman Kedoy Lach Lepulah. Right, so what's his language? We don't start from the oldest authority because maybe the rest will rely on his opinion. and they will not consider themselves worthy to disagree with him. That's what we shouldn't do. Rather, what we should do, that the responsibility of each dayan is to say what he thinks, and not to rely on anyone else. Like we find in other contexts, that it's always a dayan's responsibility not to yield to authority in general, but to give his honest opinion based on the facts that are in evidence to him. So to hear, it sounds like it's purely a practical consideration. That we're worried that the dayan will say, okay, well, if the older person says this, then he must be right, and therefore I can save myself thinking time and brain cell energy, and I won't think about it too much, and that's not what we want. But it doesn't sound like there's any prohibition here. It sounds like that's simply not the way that it's going to get a good result. And again, if you look at the Lechem Mishnah, that's how the Lechem Mishnah explains. However, the Smag says differently. The Smag says, like Rashi seems to say, that, I think I put the Smag on the list. If you want to look it up, it's in Losa, say, Kufsadi Bob. It says the Smag that there's not going to be a prohibition of disagreeing, and therefore we have to have the younger one speak first so that we don't run afoul of that prohibition. And the Mishnah Melech, who has a commentary he wrote on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, so the Mishnah Melech over there in Sefer HaMitzvos quote that he raises the objections that we've seen so far, that he doesn't think that this is really what's going on. So now, what about Sammy's question before that we kept pushing off? So does this really then mean that we don't really have any vote practically for the younger Dayanim? Because the younger Dayanim will say, okay, we think he's innocent, and they'll get up to the senior Dayan, and he'll say guilty, and that'll be it, because he has to win all the time. So now what's the point of having them there? So that's addressed by some of the Rishonim. If you look in the Kedusha Haran and the Yad Ramah, all over here in Sanhedrin, so they explain within this view that no, they're not pointless, the younger Dayanim, because, as you saw in those in Talmud Bar, that they will give reasonings and argumentation. So it might be that the senior Dayan will listen to them. The senior Dayan might have been inclined a certain way, but the younger Dayanim might be able to raise some points that he wouldn't have thought of necessarily, and maybe he'll end up agreeing. So we need them there as part of the back and forth. And it might be that they'll carry the day by getting the senior Dayan to agree with them. Pat?
How does Ben Maher refute the point of having Rav Chachma? Because now clearly he doesn't have Rav Chachma because they had a wiser Svara.
No, he has Rav Chachma because it only becomes a viable Svara once he endorses it. So maybe he wouldn't have thought about it in the first place.
In fact, anything think that in the first place, it doesn't show that he has Rav Chachma.
You know, it raises the whole question of subjectivity in assessing Chachma. But, that when we find this, we all know this from our experience in the Beis HaMedrash and in every other tchum of life, that, you know, there are thoughts that only occur to people who may not necessarily be the most senior ranking people, but the ability to assess whether it's a good thought or not is sometimes uniquely reserved for those who are more experienced. So, it very often happens in science and all of the disciplines also, that a younger person involved may say, wait, what about this? Why don't we try that? And it's up to the older person to say, oh yeah, doc, I never thought about that, but that's a terrible idea. Maybe that can't work because of this. Or I never thought about that, maybe it will work. So it's that second part where Chachma really is machria. I think you find this a lot today where there's, you know, arguments back and forth, especially the nature of discourse nowadays. So somebody prominent can say something, and somebody less prominent can say, oh, I just proved you wrong with my article here, but he doesn't really know whether his argument necessarily carries any weight. He just said it, so it's going to be up to a wiser person to say, okay, that point is a valid point, or isn't a valid point. So, in any event, so, to take your question one step further, so let's say, okay, there is a role for these younger Dayanim in that they may bring up something which may or may not convince the senior Dayanim. But then you could ask, okay, but at the end of the day, so maybe what we're saying is that we don't really function like a Bezdin, what we really do is we really form, like we would have imagined, a Bezdin functions. But what we really have here is essentially like a president of the United States and his advisors and his cabinet. Right? That the president has a large panel of people who tell him what's a good idea and what's not a good idea. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to him to either accept their advice or not. So is that really the model here? And is that basically what's going on? That really it's an executive decision. And just the executive has a panel of people who contribute to his das. But at the end of the day, he makes the decision alone. So is that how we should understand this? If that's within Reb Haigon and others who are taking that position, is that what's going on? Should we say that's really a big paradigm shift in terms of how a medicine works? So it could be, and this is the point that the Rejolti discusses, that no, that even within this model, it's still not like an executive, like a president with advisors. It's still a Bezdin. It's just that, again, we have to redefine how a Bezdin works in terms of what role it is, and then apply to it what we discussed last week. For example, you recall the Tosus in the Sefer Bava Kamma, Daf of Zion. Right, if you recall there, so Tosus talks about the principle of rove within Dayanim and in other contexts, and why we would follow a rove within a Bezdin and not follow a rove for monetary issues outside of the Bezdin, right? What does Tosus over there say? That Bezdin is unique, that the Miyut is Kamishaina. Which means what? Which means that a Bezdin is one joint entity. And you saw the time there we spoke about last week, that it's one joint entity that is defined by its majority. The majority defines the whole vote. And it's just that shift our focus from most people to most chachma. So whatever the majority of chachma is within this entity defines its final conclusion. And if it happens to be that one member has a disproportionate amount of chachma, so then he may end up making decisions essentially by himself. But not that it's an executive model, it's still a Bezdin model, which is not going based on one opinion, one person's opinion, but rather going based on rove. It's just that rove is not necessarily fully democratic in the sense of one person, one vote. And you might end up with a rove that boils down to one person outweighing everyone else.
Lo sana al rav doesn't make a distinction for chachma necessarily. We're just assuming that the most senior person is the most chachma person.
Well, again, it depends on which view and rishonim you're taking, right? But that's how we're defining it. You know, we're defining it not necessarily by a specific position. Let's say, for example, in America, so the Supreme Court has a chief justice. Doesn't necessarily mean that it means that the president appointed him chief justice. Doesn't necessarily mean by an objective standard one way or another that he has more chachma than everyone else. Now, in the case of the current chief justice, he's younger than most of the other, younger than maybe all of the other justices on the Supreme Court, or close to it, definitely among the youngest of the judges. So it doesn't necessarily mean a formal position. It means that whoever is, however we're going to understand it, the repository of most chachma is going to have this status. So then it becomes much more actual rather than just a formality. Okay, so this whole idea of whether we should look at rove based on chachma or look at rove based on people. So it's interesting, I mentioned before about the svarim that happened to be here. So there's a Sefer HaChinuch here, that's very convenient. So, you get a chance to look at the Sefer HaChinuch to put on the list this morning, which I'll take advantage of the fact that it is one on the table before I read it to you. So, Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah ayin ches, parshas mishpatim, mitzvah hatoya achrei rabbi. Right, the mitzvah that one should follow the majority in decision making. So how does he describe what to do? So let's read the Iker phrase here. Just find it. Yeah, so here it's right in the beginning. The Chiras Rov Zeh Lufi HaDoma. Hu Veshishteh HaKitos HaCholkos Yodos B'Chachmas HaTor B'Shaveh. That it seems to me, right, that normally the way we should assess something based on a row is when the parties have equal chachma. She'ein lomar she'kas chachamim u'etes lo sachriya kas burim meruba. Right, we would never say logically that if you have a small group of chachamim, that their vote shouldn't outweigh a large group of ignoramuses or ignoramai. The afilu ki yotze Mitzrayim, even if you were to have a group of Mitzrayimai who were like yotze Mitzrayim, so it wouldn't make any sense to say that their views shouldn't be outweighed by a small group of chachamim. So saying purely logically speaking, it seems to be that we should go by chachamim. That's what makes sense. Aval v'hashvoyes ha-chachma o bekeru. But if it happens to be that there's equal chachamim, or there's something similar to that, right? Which is very crucial, because once you get to similar, that's where you're going to have the real fights. You know, we can talk about experts versus non-experts and the like, but the situation is really going to come up where it's close. We never even know that we have equal chachma, but once it's already arguable. So the Asko HaTorah Shiribui Hadeos Yaskimu Olam El Ha'emes Yosem Min HaMiyot. So then the Torah informs us that most of the people increase in opinion, majority of opinions, that they will together get to the truth more than the minority. Uvein she'eskimu l'emes, o lo yeskimu l'fidas ha'shameya, ha'din dosein shalom nosu midarech harov. So then, whether or not you agree, it makes sense that you should not veer away from the majority path. So that which I said, that it makes sense that following the row only really should be if everybody's equal, that's what we would say in every context in the world. Chutz min ha-Sanhedrin, with the exception of Sanhedrin. Shevehem lo nedaktek yosin cholkin ezu kasu das yoser. Elo olam nasa chedivri harov mehem. So in that context, then we're not going to pay such close attention as to, we're not going to try to figure out which group within the Sanhedrin knows more. Rather, we're always going to do the majority of people. Vatam l'fishem hoyu b'cheshpin m'chuyiv z'na Torah. And the reason is because they are according to a quorum that is obligatory from the Torah. Who ki'ilu tzivsa ha-Torah b'feirish. Acharov shel elu tasu chol inyanechem. That based on this robe, that's how you should do everything. Yod shem kulu hoyu chacham gidol. An important caveat there. Right? So, what exactly did he say? It's a couple of interesting things here. He said, first of all, that logically speaking, right, pure svara, that rov should always mean rov chacham. Says essentially, it doesn't make sense to say that if you have a handful of experts and a large group of people who have no experience or information about the subject, that the experts shouldn't win. That makes no sense. So really, before you even come on to the pasuk in the Torah, it sounds like you're saying without the pasuk, just purely logically, should always follow rov chacham. And that's true everywhere in the world. However, once you get to a Sanhedrin context, so then the pasuk, it sounds like he's saying that that's when the pasuk was relevant. That before this, you didn't even need the pasuk. You know that when a few doctors say something and every uninformed person says something else, in a medical issue, we're going to follow the doctors. You would understand that. But the Sanhedrin specifically, the Torah created a mitzvah with a specific number, and you have to figure out how much emphasis is on this, is in this, that they all are comparable in stature by definition. So then it's a chiddush haTorah that we should follow rove people in that sense. And that's what this pasuk, after Rabban Lahatos is telling us. That's the chiddush of the din, and the fact that otherwise in every other area of life we follow Rav Chachma, that's pure svar. Now he puts at the end there this caveat that they are chacham gedolim, that's why they're on the Sanhedrin in the first place. So there's a couple of reasons why that's significant, and we have to figure out how many of them are particularly important here. One reason is that, first of all, we have to establish that they're entitled to opinion in the first place. Right? So because, it seems like he's saying on the one hand, that because they're all chacham gedolim, so we know that we're at least counting people whose opinion is somewhat informed. That the image you gave before about the Burim and Kiyosa and Mizraim, we know that we're not talking about that. We know that we're not counting people who aren't contributing anything to the conversation. But it could also be, I don't know how much this is important to the whole thinking process here, that since they're all Chacham and Gedolim, so it's not like you're going to have such a disparity that maybe counting people in that case isn't so different than counting Chacham. Right? Maybe there's two reasons why, when it comes to Sanhedrin, we can count people. One is because that's the Chiddush of Torah, that's how the system works. But also because we can rely on the fact that A, we're getting opinions that are worthwhile, and B, it's not going to be that off from Rav Chachma. That if you have 120 people in the Sanhedrin, and 90 vote one way and 30 vote the other way, so chances are pretty good that that 90 really reflects Rav Chachma too. Where if you take 120 people randomly in society and ask them to decide a medical question, so we don't know if 90, 30 necessarily, or a political question, and we get back to the Churchill point about democracy. We don't necessarily know that 90 out of the 120 represent the Rav Chachma. But maybe in the Sanhedrin we know that that's a reasonable assumption. So the significance of adding that they're all Chacham Gedolim is possibly something to analyze also. So maybe we'll just add one more point here and then we'll set things up for tomorrow. So if you had a chance to see also, there's a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. That the Gemara of Barazara and Dav Zayin, a very important Gemara for a lot of Pesach issues, one of the things that's important there is that the Gemara has really the place in Shas where the Klal of Safek Doraisa Lahachmir and Safek Dorabana Lahakel is stated out most directly. And so we follow, when it's a situation of real Safek, then we follow the Chumra, if it's Minatar or the Kula, if it's the Rabbanan. And the Gemara there also has a statement that if somebody was asked a Shaila and the Chacham was already Oser or something, so that another Chacham shouldn't come and be Makir, that's a whole sugya of itself. And the Gemara there also talks about, in general, you should follow the Chachma minyan, you should follow most Chachma and people. So the Hagol Sashri over there, if you had a chance to see it, on the Komos. Agos Ashri, commenting on that, Gemara says, so what if there is a split? That the split between Chachma and Minyan. So what do you do? So there, what does Agos Ashri say? It says you follow the Minyan, meaning that let's say if you have one Chacham who has a lot of students, so his students, they're going to all, they all agree with him on this point. So that's how you come to a conclusion. And that view is brought by the Sma in Choshen Mishpat. So there, the Ramah quotes the din that we follow the right, so we follow the Chumra, and the Rabban we follow the Kula. So he writes there, assuming this is an important point for contemporary Pesach also. He writes assuming that things are basically equal. That if you have essentially equal weight on both sides, so then we go Lachumra for Daraisa and Lakula for Darabanan. And the Sma says, he quotes the Sagal Sashri, that if there's a split between Chachma and Minyan, so he says we'll follow Minyan. So all of this, the this Sagal Sashri, as the Shach comments, I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but there's a long shach, I mean, relatively long, it's about a page long, But the Shach at the end of Reish Mem Beis in Yeridea has a page about Chloli Hara, which is always interesting reading. So I put that on the list this morning, I'm going to get up to it. So the Shach, commenting about this Hagos HaShri, quotes a Gemara in Yibamos. The Menchas Chinuch, commenting on the Sefer HaChinuch we just read, also quotes that same Gemara in Yibamos. And the Ramban that we started with also makes reference to this Gemara in Yibamos. So that Gemara and a Tosus over there is going to be very important to taking us to the next stage. So God willing, tomorrow we'll start with that and hopefully you'll have a chance to see it. So essentially, what did we see so far today? So we spoke about the... hopefully pick up with a number of points tomorrow. But we spoke about the Ramban quoting Rav Haigon, that Rav Haigon says that we only follow the Rov in the three-person panel if we're all Likum HaChachma. Otherwise, we'll follow whoever is no Saint Tam Lidvar, a little bit of a mysterious comment, and the Ramban disagreed. And then we saw, I mentioned the Jolti pointed out, it could be that he's just reading that into the Pasuk. Haigon was reading that into the Pasuk of Acher Av Mahatos, means not necessarily Rov people, maybe it shouldn't be read that way at all, but it means that we should follow Rov Chachma, and that's the whole point. And we saw that there's a fascinating apparent machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yona, that the Din HaNaskilin Min Hatzad, Rashi is interpreted to mean that it would be prohibited for the younger Dayanim to argue with the older Dayanim. That's what Osan al-Rav comes to tell us. So Rabbeinu Yona says, no, it's not talking about a prohibition at all. It's talking about just the reality. People are inhibited from arguing with senior personalities. So therefore, it's not an efficient way to do it. And the Rambam goes along those lines. It sounds like the Rambam is saying more, that that's something that's going to skew your discussion, and therefore it's wrong to do it. And again, both opinions could be reading the Pasuk as a prohibition. But the first possibility might be not necessarily about Kavod, but about the Hachorah of the Beis Din. It's in here in the same Pasuk with Acharav Mahatos, so saying that the Hachorah is first based on Rov Chachma. So if the Mufla has a certain position, that's going to become the Pesach of the Beis Din, and it's wrong to argue on it. Or the second opinion is saying that it's also, in the Rambam's words, perhaps or even stronger in this way, that it's wrong to conduct the Beis Din this way, because you're going to get a skewed answer, and that's a compromising of the function of Beis Din. That's a rough initial understanding around the Mosul. And then we mentioned that the Smag sounds more like Rashi, there's a prohibition involved, the Shemal asks on him, and the question was asked, so if you say like Rashi and the Smag, so what do the younger Dayanim do? What are they there for? They're just a formality. So as the Arama and the Ram write, they're there in order to try to express their position, and maybe the senior party will agree with them, and then that's going to change things. And then we pose the question, are we saying essentially this isn't really a panel of judges, it's more like an executive presidential kind of structure with advisors, but it's really all up to him by himself. And we noted that, though, it doesn't have to be read that way, and that's still a decision of selection, like Tosu says about the Kamba, that the rogue is not free of the mirror. It's just, again, the rogue is not being counted based on people, but rather based on Chachma, who comments on this idea of Acher Av Mahatos, saying that logically speaking, we always follow Chachma, but when it comes to the Sanhedrin, there we follow people, that's the thrust of the Pasuk, and there's a very specific amount of Tzadikim, so therefore that's the Chiddush of the Torah. And then he adds in the phrase that they're all Chachamim Gedolim, which we saw a few ways to figure out how much forgiveness to give that, either it means everyone is entitled to vote logically, or also that it's not likely there's going to be such a disparity between Chachma and people, because everyone is of somewhat comparable status. And we saw the Hagav Sashri commenting in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the split between Chachma and Minyan will follow the Minyan, meaning the opinions that are shared by the most students of those Balei opinions. And we saw that this was quoted by the Sma commenting on the Ramah. And then we mentioned that the Shach here and the Menchas Chinuch on the Sefer HaChinuch a few minutes ago, and the Ramban we started with all focused heavily on the Gemara and Masechet Yevamos, which we will pick up from tomorrow. All right, everyone should have a
Fantastic play. Who wants to dive in for us?
Yeah.